accession number 26527, Real 6.
Mr. Holness, Real 6. Now, the two things that sort of were very important to you after the war, you know, in the post-war years, that you've spent a lot of time, I've seen the awards you've got, and one is the Sea Cadets, and the other is the Royal Arthur Association. If we could take the Sea Cadets first, what was your connection with the Sea Cadets? How did that begin, and why is that so important to you?
Well, obviously the first connection is the sea. That's the part of the cadets I was interested in. But my son joined when he was 11, which was starting in those days. And after a short while, I used to go down to see him. I became attached to the what they call the parents and friends, helping to support them, cater for them, raise money for them. It wasn't long after that, about a year perhaps, I was asked to become an officer of the unit. After some consideration, I did do this, and I started at the Herne Bay Sea Cadet unit as a sub-lieutenant.
Now, what did it involve? What was the purpose of the Sea Cadets? Well, what did you do as an officer? Purpose first.
The purpose of the Sea Cadet course is, of course, is the youth welfare and teach them a way of life that they probably wouldn't be able to do outside of it. They didn't run the streets. They were disciplined, organised. I don't like to use the word discipline. I think organisation is a more sensible word for that. And
what sort of activities did they do with the Sea Cadets then?
We did boating, sailing, naturally parade drill, nine other units in the district, and competition between the units and all these matters to do with, mainly to do with the sea, of course. But we did have sports days, which was once a year. We had a Queen's Birthday parade in those days. Once a year, where all the units meet up, a different unit each year, and put the show on, as it were, display everybody. There was bands. Most units had a band in those days. The general activities connected with the sea otherwise. If it's to do with the sea, we were there. And also, of course, we helped charities as well. We were a charity, but we also helped charity. We supported things in the town, and if cadets were wanted for anything to help out, they were there.
Now, what did you have to do as an officer? What was your role as an officer?
Well, my role as an officer, it was instruction purposes. I mean, just a title then, because if you was an instructor in the Sea Cadet Corps, you could be a petty officer or an officer. You all had jobs to do in the instruction way. At that time, communications was still going quite strong, and I did a bit of instruction in communication.
So what, Morse and things?
Morse, and we had our own office down there, a little WT office.
So you started about, what length of service did you put into this?
Well, I did various units. I went from Herne Bay to take over Whitstable unit, which was the oldest Sea Cadet unit in the world. It was started in 1830-something, I think it was. That was the initial start of the Sea Cadet Corps. I took over that unit for 4 years.
In command of it?
In command.
So when did you start?
This was only about 2 years after the Herne Bay, so there'd be, I forget what date I told you now. 1965, was it? But it'd be about 1967 I took over Whitstable. I felt after 4 years I'd served my time, because I'm a believer in change of face. I think you can get stale in one unit if you're not careful, or any job you do, I think this. And from there, I went to help out down in Ramsgate. I only happened to be walking around the harbour one day when somebody saw me down there and said, "What are you doing down there?" Which the harbour, see that unit there is on the harbour. And they coming up to have a cup of tea, and I got involved in that with them. Then I transferred to Ramsgate. And I was there for about 4 years. But it was a bit less than 4 years, so probably about 2 years. In the meantime, somebody was wanted at Canterbury because they was short of staff and couldn't get anybody. So I was put in charge of Canterbury unit, Sea Cadet unit. Again, I stayed 4 years.
And how much of your time in a week would it involve, say, at Canterbury, you know?
Almost a 7-day job, I think, because you always had to be there when anything was happening. You had to attend all their committee meetings and things like that outside the normal Sea Cadet programme. We had two definite parade nights a week, apart from other occasions where we wanted to go and do something else, sailing or something. And apart from people knocking on your door about their son or little boy, why did they do this to him, why did they do that? First thing I used to say is, nice to see you, we've never seen you before when everything was going right. But I can honestly say I was a very popular officer. I never raised a voice, and I'd get anything done. And they would do anything for me. I'm very proud about that. But similarly again, I left there after 4 years with a view to retiring from the Corps. But I helped out again down in Ramsgate for a while. Next thing I know, after 1 year, could I come back to Ramsgate because I was in trouble? Could I take it over again? So that's okay, I was back in the Corps for another 2 years, and I can't recollect dates or times now, but after that I'll finish with the Corps. But still kept contact. I went on the reserve for a while in case I was wanted anywhere. And to this day, I'm still in touch with the Sea Cadets. And with my daughter, from the age of 16, she used to help out as well. And she's been with them ever since, helping out as an officer, administration officer. And she's now the secretary for the East Kent District.
Now, the second part is the Royal Arthur. Now, I know you want to tell us about the background to how associations start and why they started when they did. Because something that started in 1946 or something like that. Tell us about why it started. What was going on?
I understand that between the war years and up to this, about 10, 20, 30 years afterwards, nobody really wanted to know about organisations or service. They had their own lives, they were bringing up their families. Then all of a sudden you think of these old friends and days, possibly. And it was John Lowndes up in Sunderland. He suddenly thought it'd be nice to get all the old Royal Arthur together from Skegness. When you talk about 200,000 men, you must get somebody out of it, I think, James thought.
So when was this?
So that was in 1988. Or 1987, he must have had the thought. But 1988, he put a notice in the Navy News to anybody interested in forming an association for HMS Royal Arthur. And he managed to get somewhere near 200 names of people interested. So as soon as he could, he arranged that they should meet in Skegness, just as a sort of one-off, as a get-together. But from that day...
Did you go to that first week?
No, yes, I did go there first week. Yeah, I was there the first time.
What was it like, the first one?
Well, for me it was quite good because I met up straight away with three or four of my old shipmates from 1942. I'd been in touch with one or two of them, but I hadn't seen them for... 1942, how long was that? 58?
Yeah, about that long, yeah.
Yeah, and... And in that time, too, of course, it's grown that I've met 11 of them up there, all from 1942, and we still keep in touch.
So you enjoyed the first one. Did you get involved then? Or?
No, I was just attended as a member for the first 2 years, 3 years, 2 years I attended as a member. Then we had trouble with our treasurer, which I won't go into, and we had an AGM where they wanted a treasurer, and nobody wanted a volunteer, which is usual with these jobs. My wife, at that time I was working in the post office on using money every day, actually, in the counter work. She said, well, don't you do it? I said, no, don't get involved in that. She said, well, nobody else do it. I said, well, perhaps I'll have a go at it. And so I put my hand up and I said, I'll take it on for if you like. The first thing they said, because I didn't know anybody personally then, first thing the chairman of the association at that time said, does anybody know this man? Got a bit of trouble we'd had previous treasury, you see. And my mate, who I joined up with, was sitting next to me. I've known him for 50 years, he says. We hadn't met up in that time. I've known him for 50 years, he says. Oh, that sounds good enough, they said, so we're trying. And I'll go involved as treasurer. And I held that post right up until I resigned in 1990. No, 2000.
Exactly.
Year 2000, losing dates. And also in that time, I undertook the task of organising the events, because the original organiser died. And I took over the organisation of the 4-day events.
Now, that's what we... Let's talk about that. Tell me, because it's a fantastic... You've just shown me a video of the... Tell me what a typical... what the typical four-day event in Skegness is like, and how you helped organise it.
I will first say that without the town council and the support of the mayors, we could never have got this off the ground as we have. We had total support and commitment from them. And from the day one, every mayor, which changes every year, has joined in with us and become a member of our association. And on the 4 days, what we do is on the first day, which was would be a Thursday, they gave us the use of the theatre, in the foyer, and setting up tables and anything we wanted for registration purposes, which took all up to 4 o'clock in the day.
How many would go?
At that time, about 250.
And how many members?
They used to bring their wives with them, of course, and families.
So we're talking 300 or 400 people.
Yeah, for signing in purposes, just the members. And new members, of course, have turned up all the time.
And how many members did you have in total? You know,
at any one time, we went up to about 600. But that decreased now over the years.
So you have the signing in the foyer?
Signed in on the foyer up to about 4 o'clock. In the evening, the council put the mayor's reception, what they call the mayor's reception night on, where they put a theatre show on, a full theatre show, and after that they gave us a buffet, which went on to about midnight, all on the council expenses. And they was catering with a terrific, one of the biggest buffets you'd ever see anywhere, for that number of people. And that was introduction to us to the council, really. But the next night, we made that a 40s night. That was the original version, because that faded out. But a 40s night, where we took you back to the 40s, we had a big, big dance band. And I'm talking about a big dance band, full stage, where we had the use of the hall again. The council supplied it. We invited the council. They became our guests for that night, the council people. And that was that night over with on the Friday. On the Saturday morning, we had our parade.
Now, tell me about the parade. I've just seen a bit of film of it. It's a big do.
The parade was normally, I'll say an average of 250, because we had a lot of people who couldn't march of age and various reasons. They'd met us at the other end of the parade, as it were, and things like that. But we used to have about 250 in the parade. And we've had various bands. I will say the first ones were a bit dodgy, because when it initially started, nobody knew what to expect, and they engaged the local Boys Brigade band, and I think we were probably doing the Sambo going around more than marching, but it was a start. But the big occasion came to 1991, when the council decided that we ought to have a charter of friendship. They would like to have given us the freedom of Skegness, which they couldn't do because they were part separated from the main body, but they made us a charter of friendship of the town, and we went from there to prayed about 12 o'clock, half past 12, to a church service. Then we went on to Saturday afternoons. We had free, so that they could do some shopping.
So you didn't finish the parade. You ended up with the Royal Marines. I mean,
I've missed them out, haven't I? The 1991 was a special one because we brought the Royal Marine Band in to take it. And we had a ship's company from a frigate that was in Grimsby at the time, but they sent a gun guard down for us. We hadn't expected this, but it was a nice add to the occasion. The town gave a terrific reception to the Royal Marines, because it was an occasion they'd never had anything like that up there before.
The streets were lined.
They were lined with people, and a lot of applause and that sort of thing, you know. Very good. Quite a moving occasion, really.
And the marching was very good for 80-year-olds. I'm saying this from the video.
Of course, because they were Navy. it was good. And you never lose it. The parade was exceptional, really. But talking about the bands, obviously, as I mentioned, we're going back to the first one we had, the Samba business with the Boys Brigade. We thought we had to do something about that. We did have various bands over the years take us, but we didn't have too much success with them until about 1987. When we started bringing, the Sea Cadet bands in. We had the Harrogate band, which was a well-known band, and they came for a couple of years to us. But than the last occasion we were going to have, and they let us down. And we also had the Grimsby Seeker that banned in that time. But we were due to have this parade, and on the week before they came, or due to come, the Harrogate Band said they had to go away on Seeker Net business, couldn't attend. So it created a problem straight away, because it's a terrible job to get bands in those days. It is now. But we, I said, well, I know a band down in Herne Bay, Seagullet band I've worked with. And I said, we'll see if we can get them up there. And at this time, in Herne Bay's band, it's the top one around. It was a great band, very strong. But they didn't know this. The last time our chairman had seen it was when he was with me down here when it was just forming. He thought, oh, that's going to be a lousy turnout, you know. But anyway, I got in touch with my daughter, who was acting for them as go-between. And I said, do you think we can get the band up to Skegness? A week's notice. We had to get them off school, we had to arrange transport, we had to arrange accommodation. And so they did. They said they'd accept it. They left at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Got up there just in time for the parade and did us proud. And everybody was so pleased. It was the best band they'd ever had, apart from the Marines, of course. And from then on, we had them the following year as well. And they were better still. They knew what to expect. So what we did, we took them out there for the weekend. We put them into Butlins. They did one or two parades up there. We collected some money, which was handy for them. I did a collection in the town, which all out there funded out place expenses. And every cadet put £30 in for their own expenses to pay for the lodgings. So we treated them accordingly, but that was the way it worked. Anyway, we put them into Butlins, and they paraded with us at Skegness on the Saturday.
They got the Saturday morning parade that you're getting away from the thing. So what happened after
Saturday
that?
Saturday morning parade. And the afternoon was free. And in the evening, we put another show on. I forget what we did. It was a dance and general get together and show. It was a sort of finalising the weekend's events, really.
That was the last night.
Yeah, it was the last night do.
You mentioned you had a couple of.
It was an informal do.
You had a couple of Royal Arthur. Showmen coming along. I mean, Danny LaRue and Russ Conway.
Well, when we put the shows on the Friday night, we arranged the artists, not the council. And if I asked the council, could they help me out and get somebody, they would do their best to get them. And I happened to know that Danny LaRue and Russ Conway and all, they were all ex-Royal Arthur sailors. And they agreed to come along and do shows for us. Quite a lot of very different stars, I can't remember all their names now, but they did not
good quality. There. So then you'd go back home on Sunday, I presume?
On Sunday morning, we did the show, all the main do on Saturday night, that was sort of finalised night, and some people did go home then. But on Saturday morning, we all went up to... Sunday morning, we all went up to Inglemouse, which was the village attached to Butlins. And that was the actual area where we... which is our own, really. That was where our church was. The church was at Inglemouse. And we'd never had a parade up there before. But while I had the Seeker Net band up there, this is the reason we kept them back, we did a parade through the village of Butlins with the Seeker Net band, which I'd never seen before. And the padre, Reverend Robinson, was the original padre from the Royal Arthur base in 1942. And he lived near Skegness. And his wife, Lady Jane, we called her, was the sister of Lord Hume, and they lived in a big country mansion place where they used to invite the staff out on a Saturday afternoon. They used to invite any of the Royal Arthur people who wanted to could go out and see them at their country mansion.
Now, what about visits to the actual Butlins camp? Is it Filey or is it...
No, Skegness.
It's Skegness. You've got a programme from Filey there that's been signed up.
No, that's Skegness.
Is it? All right, okay.
It is Skegness.
Yeah, all right. It's an advert in it for
Filey. The advert's Filey, yeah.
I understand.
But that's Skegness as shown in the brochure.
Now, had it changed? I mean, did you, as part of the week, do you go to visit the Butlins?
Yes, you can only recognise the layout now. We all went up there for one visit. we took the coach loads up there.
And how had it changed?
Well, they received us there. We did a short service in the old chapel, which was still there. All the frontal buildings are different. The swimming pool had been filled in. The chalets are gone, except for one, which is now a listed building around the back. The duck was still there in the pond. Even that's changed now, since then. All the lakes have been done away with. The layout was the same. The main gate was the same. But everything else had gone.
So that wasn't terribly useful for you in that way. But now what is interesting is you've got a Butlin's Skegness programme. You're right,
it's
a Filey advert, but it's Skegness. You've got it signed by all the lads from your group.
That's right, and anybody who was connected with us, they all signed the back of the book. They put the town in on there where they lived, which was very helpful for us to trace many of them, because we used to phone up a lot of the names in that town or put out little adverts out. And we eventually found 29 out of the 49 that was there.
That's amazing.
And I joined up with.
What's it like meeting people that you knew so long ago? So
great.
Many of them.
It was great. It was a job to recognise some of them, but it was when you think they come from all parts of the country. Edinburgh, one lived in France, and I was still in touch with John in France. In fact, he's the nearest Royal Arthur to me in Herne Bay, and he lives in France.
And how important overall would you say the whole thing's been to you? You know, the whole Royal Arthur experience.
That's what it has been, an experience. It's something you could never foresee and you could never repeat. And I was fortunate, having a wife that supported me. She was more for the Navy than I was, I think. It was a great occasion and to meet up everybody like we did.
Now you're not on the committee now.
I mainly resigned after my wife died, but over ill health as much as anything, travelling. And
you're still
keep in touch with me.
You're still a keen member of the association.
Oh, yes. I'm a life member. I've been made a life member. Also, I must mention, too, that Royal Arthur, we say about Royal Arthur, mainly in England, but we've got Australian members, we've got Canadian and various parts of the world, odd ones, and New Zealand, and also Norway, because a lot of Norwegian sailors there, and we had a Norwegian branch. And they two all keep in touch as well, and can come over for reunions. It's something never to be forgotten, really, now.
I think it's a marvellous
achievement. And it's still going on, but the only unfortunate part now is that we're thinking of the winding down. Because they're all getting just a bit too old to travel and walk and march and do these things. But from there, you see, when that closed down in January 1946, Butlin's, it went to Corsham in Wiltshire. That became HMS Royal Arthur. And, of course, that started another branch of the association, really. And we've managed to get a lot of Corsham members in. Okay, I can't give you numbers now, but...
And that'll help you keep it going.
We're hoping that will keep it going, but not as a full parade and meeting, because you'd never have enough members to do that again.
But it's still going on this year, 2004,
The last parade we've had was in 2003, actually, and there were still 200 there.
Are you due one next year?
Every May they have them.
So you're carrying on for the...
They're going to do another one, and then discuss about the possible closing downtime. I've given a possible date of perhaps 07, because that will give us a 20-year time, which is something... It sounds better saying 20 years than 19 years, doesn't it?
Well, I hope it works. Thank you very much.